Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Okay, good afternoon, friends and listeners. This is Marilyn Mall from the Urban Homemaker, welcoming you to Urban Homemaker Live Radio, broadcast using our new awesome web-based internet technology. And as you know, I am your hostess today. I was hoping to be interviewing my guest by phone so you could hear her, but she is having technical problems that unfortunately we didn't find out about until the last minute. So we always have a plan B. Let's talk a little bit about Urban Homemaker Live. We'll talk a little bit about practical living skills, and we'll do that via chat if you ask questions. But I have some things to talk about, so don't go away. We are not going to waste the time, and we will reschedule Kathy. And Kathy said that, now that I'm looking at it, that she can go to her neighbor's house and give her 5 minutes. So that'll be fine. Kathy, we'll just wait for you because I can fill in the time in between, and you'll just let me know when you're there. Anyway, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that if you haven't already done so, you can enter the contest to win a free DVD from Kathy. That link is just above the little blue icon if you're listening live online on TalkShoe. Or you can go to the radio, Urban Homemaker Live Radio webpage to enter the contest. And the link is also on your reminder email today. The goal of the Urban Homemaker Live Radio is to educate, inspire, inform, and entertain men and women on a wide variety of topics of interest to homemakers and homesteaders. Our overriding philosophy is that old-fashioned skills are for contemporary people, and our goal is to promote the virtues of thrift and self-sufficiency, among other character qualities, and fulfill the biblical mandate to be keepers of home in the spirit of Titus 2. This summer, we're going to be talking about a variety of topics related to homesteading, such as organic gardening, growing and harvesting herbs, gardening, preserving, those related topics and things of interest to you. By the way, if you have a great idea for a program, I hope you will email me at marilyn@urbanhomemaker.com. I would love to hear from you. I'm not monitoring the chat right now, but chatters chat away. Okay, Kathy Broderick is my guest. She has a family business called Teaching Good Things. We're going to give her a chance to introduce herself here as soon as she joins us. She needs maybe a few more minutes. Part of the reason I wanted to do this chat is not only because Kathy's newsletter subject line caught my eye a few weeks ago. Her subject line was 3 secrets to increase your worth this summer. Well, in this economic time, I think we're all looking for a few ways to squeeze a few more dollars out of our expenses and a few more ways to earn a dollar here and a dollar there. And of course, teach our kids to do the same. And what really caught my idea was my friend Kelly from Kelly the Kitchen Cop. Maybe she's listening. I don't know. She wrote on her blog Monday. She said, "You can probably relate to that bittersweet feeling that you get when summer is here. It's nice having the kids around and a more flexible schedule. Amen to that. But the bickering and constant interruptions can make getting work done a little bit tricky, especially for those busy moms who have another job besides parenting and homemaking and being a wife. It definitely is tricky, and I know about that. So I'm gonna address that until I hear Kathy tell me that she is with us. Now, as I thought about Kelly's question this morning, I thought I better be prepared to address it with my point of view. I don't know what Kathy's going to say, but I am now on the older mom. My children are 26, almost 22, and almost 17. So one is married, expecting in August. One is a college graduate, about to be activated in the Army as a second lieutenant. He has been commissioned, and then my 17-year-old is still in high school. So I haven't quickly forgotten when summer came and that bittersweet feeling. Now, I can honestly say what I used to do is start panicking in about March or April. Not that panicking helps anything, but that's what I used to do. Anyway, I was starting to look ahead. That's what I'm saying. I did want to look ahead because I knew that as much as I looked forward to school being out and they looked forward to school being out, that without a schedule, we would have trouble. Kathy, are you with us? Not yet. Okay, we'll give her a little more time. And audience, I hope you'll be thinking of questions. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to emphasize again is a schedule. You need to have a schedule. They know when they get up, when breakfast is, who's going to do the dishes, who's going to prepare the lunch, what their chores are after breakfast, of course. They have to get their bed made, get dressed. And I had a rule also that we pretty much didn't do neighborhood kid activities until the morning was over. That gave me a chance to get them busy accomplishing what needed to be done in the home, whether it was laundry, sweeping, vacuuming, meal preparation, preparing for a picnic perhaps if it was a pool day, going to the library, maybe a read-aloud time, picking up toys. I mean, we had different activities. We would have reading time. We might have music time. We might have a video time. But we had to keep it moving. We had to have different activities. And it was, I'll tell you, I didn't always have a schedule written out. But it does go better when the schedule is written out. Also, if you have slightly older children, whether you have older children or not, I think you need to schedule in a quiet time after lunch. They don't have to take a nap, but it is a quiet time. It's a reading time. It's quiet. Mom has a break. Mom knows that things are under control. Now, if your children are busy with their chores, if they're busy with preparing meals or cleaning up, if they're busy constructively on a project, a new skill, they are less likely to get into bickering, but they are children, and they like to compete with one another. They like to put one another down, and it inevitably ends up in a fight. So I will tell you a little trick that I came up with, and I hate to tell you, I only figured this one out a couple years ago. It may not work in your household. You may have to try some different things. But one thing that worked really well for me with older children, I learned from my son's experience in the Army, believe it or not. And if one was in trouble, everybody was in trouble. And the way I worked it was the computer was off for the rest of the day, and they had to go to their rooms. Well, they didn't like that. My kids didn't like that. Oh, hello, Kathy.
Hey, Marilyn.
Oh, great. You made it.
I had to run to the neighbor's house. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, I've been yakking away telling people what I did to keep my little rascals from too much bickering. Most of it I learned the hard way. I didn't know this all up front. And we have quite a few people listening to us on TalkShoe and live by phone. I gave the introduction of what Urban Homemaker Live is about. I mentioned that you had written in an email a few weeks ago, 3 secrets to increase your worth this summer, which really caught my eye. And, of course, my friend Kelly, the kitchen cop, wrote, you know, how do you cut down on the bickering and that kind of thing. But today, since you're my guest, you are Kathy from Teaching Good Things. What we want to talk about with you, and hopefully all our guests have downloaded some of your e-books, is what skills we might want to be teaching our children. If they've read your e-books, they know what you think. If they haven't read your e-books, they can download them. They're right on this Urban Homemaker Live radio web page. It's just above the little talk shoe blue badge. You can see Kathy's free little ebooks are Before We Give Our Daughters, Before He Cleaves, and What to Do When Your Daughter Hates Being in the Kitchen. Now that I think those books are a little more oriented for the older kids, but we have people with 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds listening. So we're going to start with the younger ones. But before we do that, I do want to say good afternoon, Kathy, and welcome to Urban Homemaker
Thank
Life.
Thank
you. All right.
Thank you for being so patient.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, where you grew up, how you met your husband, you know, what you think might be of interest to the audience.
We live in North Central Alabama, and it is gorgeous. We have four children that are all just about grown. My youngest is 16. And my husband and I were both raised in upstate New York, and But we've been here for about 22 years.
Oh, okay. So you're practically a semi-native, as we say around here. Semi-native,
yeah,
to Alabama, would you say? Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, so tell us, when did you start mastering some basic, what I would call practical skills, or when did the idea of building skills, practical skills, click with you? When did this idea that, you know, we need to be teaching good things, we need to be mastering them ourselves and modeling that, when did that idea click with you?
Shortly after I had my son, 22 years ago, I took a wilting cake decorating class, and I always enjoyed baking and cooking and that kind of stuff, but I really wanted to learn how to make cakes and just took off from there, and I made cakes for friends and, of course, for our family, and that kind of evolved into catering that we do now. But I would say with, you know, making sure that our children knew practical skills was probably when we began homeschooling. And as the years, you know, the focus is so much on academics, and as the years progressed, we could just see that, you know, there was so much about making sure they know their math and their spelling, and all that's good, but there were very few that could do the hands-on things, and I was constantly running into moms that wanted their daughters to learn cake decorating or sewing or whatever, but they didn't know how to do it themselves because most of us are away at school all day long, so learning practical skills is not usually on most people's agenda. And so that's, we have always just wanted to make sure that our kids were able to take good care of themselves and be able to take care of our neighbors. And probably about 10 years ago, my husband and I started teaching Keepers of the Faith. I don't know if you're familiar with their material, but they have it's kind of like scouting, but
right,
it's biblical based. And so I taught the girls, and their moms would sit in, and my husband taught the boys, and their dads would sit in. And for about 7 years, we had such a wonderful group of families, and we would eat supper together every Wednesday night, and then break off into God has all things to do.
Okay, now you probably didn't have a chance to look at the chat here, but there was a gal who says, okay, what are some good resources for boys? So you mentioned the Keepers of the Faith, that's for girls, and your husband took the boys. What did he use for the boys?
He used their other part, which is Contenders for the Faith. And it's just basically a handbook that kind of gives you different skills and some things to learn. But a lot of it, you have to go find resources to learn those skills.
Okay.
What we did in our...
Okay. Wait,
go ahead.
Can you hang on just a second? I know people are going to be asking, okay, where do we get these books? Do you know the website? Is it keepersofthefaith.com?
It's keepersofthefaith.com.
Put that on here. All right, go ahead. Tell us about your group.
When we had skills that we wanted our kids, and they earn little badges, you know, just like you did in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. And when there were things that we were not equipped ourselves to teach, we would find someone else to do it. One time we had, when the boys wanted to earn the knot tying badge, and there are a lot of different knots to learn, my husband got a man from Alabama Power to come in and teach the different kinds of knots, because, of course, climbing those poles, they have to know different knots to tie. So we were just, anything that we couldn't teach, we'd find someone to teach it.
Okay, so tell us what some of the highlights were that get us a little bit excited about Keepers of the Faith.
Oh, my goodness, you mean like, kind of like...
Just give us a vision, like, what skills did you guys have the most fun with? I mean, obviously, you mentioned cake decorating and knot tying. Were there a couple others that stand out?
The boys had a great time with rocket making.
What?
They learned how to make rockets.
Oh, rockets!
I love that.
That
yes,
does sound like
yes.
A boy thing, doesn't it? Oh, boy. They like fireworks
yes.
And things that blow up.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
I suppose
but we also
safety.
Excuse me?
I I'm sure they learned some safety.
And so then we had, yeah. And then we had probably one of the most rewarding things we did, because we belong to a really small church, but we had lots of families from all over the county come in on Wednesday nights just to do keepers. And one year my husband had the boys build picnic tables for the church. And it was just, it was a great experience for them to learn how to work with the wood and how to build them. But then that they were also giving that back to the church. So that was one of the more rewarding things that the boys did.
Okay, how about the girls?
The girls, oh my goodness, there's so many. It's hard for me to choose just one thing. They did calligraphy. Oh goodness, the quilting was a good project. I still have moms. You know, that was probably about 8 years ago. I had moms that will remember things. We did a whole study on Proverbs 31, and that was just a real special time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on ahead here. Again, I know we have a lot of listeners with the younger children. What do you personally think is the best place to start, and at what age, with just some basic household skills?
Oh, no doubt that, you know, the younger you start them, the better. And just, you know, more than just teaching the skills, their attitude and your attitude about being busy and about being productive with their work. You know, even a little, you know, 2 or 3 year old, you know, teaching them how to put their clothes in the drawer the right way, and just in small little steps, and they can find reward in knowing that they've done a good job. And so, you know, if moms especially don't have the attitude of, this is just drudgery, that I have to do housework again today, I have to do laundry again today, and instead, you know, look at it like, this is part of the work God's given us. We are to be busy. We're not to be idle. And just really, you know, I hate to use the word brainwashed, but you just really got to instill that in them when they're very young, that work is a good thing.
You know, I just really want to emphasize the truth of that. And the reason, I just really want to build on that attitude idea. The attitude is everything. I think you wrote in one of your books, our Sunday school class is talking about character. And one of the reasons we're talking about it is, number one, I'm the teacher and I still have a lot of character to master, and I'm almost 59. I wasn't taught a lot of character qualities and good attitudes. So, gee whiz, I wonder why my kids didn't always have a good attitude. I wonder where they were getting that from. Probably good old mom. You know, we are, how do I say it gently, lovingly, diplomatically? What we model the attitude that we want our children to have. And I found this, as I was preparing today, I just stumbled upon something I had read just about a week ago. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. In other words, we have got to teach our children the attitude, you know, a positive attitude, like you said, in everything we do. And if we're not doing our work with a good attitude, well, we know what the outcome of that is. So we can start with ourselves. And I want to really emphasize, no condemnation. I know there's probably somebody who's going to be listening or who has listened. They're going to think, oh, Roy, I need some work there. Do not be discouraged. Start where you're at. Start tomorrow. Start today, right? Attitude is so key.
Right. And if you mess up today and you have a meltdown because of your workload or whatever, you know, just repent and show your children, you know how I responded to this situation was not a good thing. And tomorrow we're going to try to do better. And you know, I think learning the actual skill themselves is not difficult if we have the character it takes to do it, which is diligence, patience,
determination,
you know, resourcefulness. Right. Right. Because the skills really are not what it's, the majority of it is the attitude.
Attitude is very huge. And if anybody wants to email me for a list of character qualities that we're studying in our Sunday school class, we have a list of 49. We're not going to try to get to them all. And they overlap quite a bit. You can email me, you know, privately. Okay, now I noticed on your Emails, Kathy, you always quote on your signature line, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hands. Obviously, you've been telling us that you've been living this for a while. Do you want to develop that for us a little bit more about the working with your own hands from the standpoint of multiple streams of income?
Yes. One thing as I was, you know, praying and thinking about how can we do today was, you've heard the saying, you know, usually a man is a jack of all trades but master of none.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking about that, and that is so, that's a lot of what our culture thinks. Okay, we get through school, we're going to go to college, and we're going to master in something. And then a lot of people have their college degrees, and 80% of people do not even work in the field that their degree is in.
80%.
And so, yes. And I think that maybe we should master, two or three things and still be a jack of all trades, because what happens when technology comes along and your trade gets phased out and there's no longer a need for what you're doing, or the economy bottoms out. So, our family, we're not wealthy, but we have a lot of peace and we have a lot of happiness. And my husband is a carpenter, so during the winter, work is usually very slow for him, especially around Christmas. And usually between Thanksgiving and February, things are very slow. And so we do other things to generate income that keeps him working at home. And so whether we're teaching classes or I've had two Christmases in a row where I've had someone order quilts, and the profits that I made off from the quilts more than paid for our Christmas.
Beautiful.
So, you know, the more things that you're able to do, just the more, I don't like to say the more valuable we are, but the more marketable we are, the more that we can do things.
Marketable. I love that word, marketable. Also resourceful. The more resourceful we become.
Right.
The more skills we have, the more marketable, the more resourceful we are. Now, actually, the Urban Homemaker started out of my passion to bake bread, and it was just a hobby, and I taught classes in our local parks and rec, and that was 20 years ago. Now, and I'm thinking about my father. He was a chemist, and about 10 years before he retired, his company had a major layoff. And he kind of saw it coming, and he decided it was time for him to kind of start learning a little bit more about how to use a computer. And that's in the late 70s, early 80s. And that kept him employed until he retired, just his willingness to learn something new. And that challenges me today at age 58 also to be learning something new. And that's kind of going to be our motto around here, because as a widow, there's a lot of things I don't know how to do around a house that I'm going to either have to learn to do or pay somebody to do. And so this year we are learning gardening. We're working on it. I don't think we're going to be masters of it, but we are making progress. Okay.
Yeah, well, that takes a while to master gardening.
yeah, I can already tell. First of
all,
the soil.
That goes back to the whole attitude thing, is that we have got to be teachable. And that was one thing that I loved about our keepers group, was that the moms would sit in, and they had never been taught any of this, and they learned it right along with them.
That's excellent.
And so what that says to your children when you're willing to learn alongside of them is that I have not arrived, and I still want to learn. I'm very teachable.
Yes, we really need to stress that teachability. And I'll admit that the older I get, I'm struggling with it at times. It's a bit of a challenge for me to decide, okay, I can learn some new things. And my father always stressed that. I'm thankful that I heard that from a young age. Fortunately, I don't know that they taught me a lot of skills, but he always stressed, you can learn. So I do want to leave that thought with listeners. Okay, in one of your books, on what a daughter needs to know before she, or accomplish before she is given away, I guess, in marriage, is you mentioned a hope chest. Now, I picked up on that because I was introduced to a hope chest, the concept of it about 10 years ago. I did not have a hope chest. And I immediately thought, this is an awesome idea to start putting things away for my daughter. At the time, she was working for us, so you know, Christmas came, birthday came, we would give her something out of our Urban Homemaker catalog that we thought she might need when she got married. And by the way, it's come in very handy. She already has a mill and a pressure cooker, and she got a Bosch for a wedding present. She didn't get that in her home chest as much as she wanted it in her home chest, but we had always told her that would be her wedding present. Anyway, she kind of got into that concept of a hope chest and started putting things away that she wanted to save for her future home. Now, what do you think are some good things to start putting into a hope chest?
I love that you were able to give her things like that. I think anything that's just going to stand the test of time.
I can't hear that. I didn't hear that.
I think anything that can stand the test of time. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay. Give us an example of something that can stand the test of time.
Okay. If they want to put some dishes in their hub chest, try not to buy anything that's faddish, or remember that their taste is going to mature a lot. What they like at 16 may not be what they like at 26 after they're married. So if you're buying things like dishes, china, crystal, my daughter found a whole set of crystal at a yard sale, and I love that she bought it for herself to go in her home chest. So she's got a whole set of, I think she was about 17 when she bought it. She's got a whole set of crystal.
That's awesome. Okay, so we're talking about timeless, useful, practical things. We're not talking about fun collections or that kind. We're talking about really useful items that any household would need. It could be seeds. It could be kitchen items. It could be glassware, dishware, towels, sheets, those kinds of things. Okay. And it's so fun if they would be making some things for their hope chest.
Right. And of course, whenever you say that, the first thing that comes to mind is a quilt. And there again, you got to be real careful, a lot of young girls like really bright, crazy colors, so they may not like that after they get married. So, try to keep it more traditional looking for that kind of stuff. But I thought when you were talking about the other, I was thinking, kitchen gadgets. I mean, good quality kitchen gadgets.
Measuring cups.
Those are great. Right. Pastry cutters. Just things that are good quality. They're great to put in a Christmas stocking.
Mm.
They got a really nice gadget each Christmas.
We started giving my. I'm sorry. We started giving my son tools to put in his quote hope chest. Of course, he didn't have a box, but we started giving him like a drill and a sander, things that, and just a little toolbox and small hand tools, so he would have something by the time he graduated from high school to start with. Because when my husband and I got married, he had a box of tools, like a hammer and a wrench and a pliers, but he didn't have any power tools or any really, wonderful tools. Okay, well, let's go ahead and mention the coupon code for your DVDs. Talk about your DVDs, and then we'll move into our question time because I want the audience to have a chance to ask you some questions, okay?
Okay.
So the coupon code for your DVDs is?
The word home, H-O-M-E. And when they go to the checkout, they can just put home in the discount code box. And they'll get $5 off each video.
Okay, and the three videos are?
The three videos are cake decorating, which will teach you all the basic steps, how to bake a cake, what are good pans. I also show the recipe for a good icing. And we have all the basic things for cake decorating. Then I have learn how to crochet, which teaches you all the foundational stitches, and it also shows you how to read the pattern at the bottom of the screen. And that's one of the biggest complaints that I hear is people say, my grandmother taught me how to crochet, but they have no clue how to read a pattern. So I explain how to read a pattern and then scroll the directions at the bottom as we're making each item. And then patchwork quilting, how to make a throw out of scraps, and teach you how to use a rotary cutter and how to put it all together. And so those are the three videos.
Okay. And the DVD code is HOME for a discount. And if you have entered the contest, I will be picking a name and announcing the winner tomorrow on my blog, Friday, on my blog, MarilynMull.com. Hopefully you'll visit it and subscribe to that feed so that you can see updates on my kitchen. Yes, it's still under construction. And, of course, see who the winner is. And we will be having more contests as the summer progresses. Okay, Kathy, did you have some closing thoughts before we go into questions?
One thing, we are very fortunate where we live. We live, you know, out in the country more. One of the questions I get quite often is, how do I teach? How do I go about teaching all these things that I don't know how to teach? And, of course, there's the library. There's the Internet is endless. But there again, you have to consider, you know, is the person teaching, do they really know what they're doing? Because sometimes I have watched YouTube stuff and think, I know, this isn't how that's done. So, of course, there's the Internet and the library and books. But we have found that just learning alongside someone else that really knows what they're doing. Our son apprenticed with an electrician for a year, which was a great experience for him. My husband teaches boys.
He teaches what?
He has taught boys.
Oh, okay.
When he's working on a building, he'll let some younger boys come along and work alongside him. So just trying to find, and if you don't know, if there's no one in your family, let's say you want your son to learn how to repair a lawnmower, because that is really, that's a biggie for boys to know how to do that. See if there's anyone in your family that's really good at that, or if you have a neighbor that you can trust to spend some time with your son.
I just want to say I am so thankful for neighbors. My neighbor has been teaching my son about irrigation. It's been great. It's been wonderful.
And I'm sitting at my neighbor's house using her phone because mine wouldn't work.
Aren't neighbors wonderful? Okay, so let's move into some questions here, and then we'll have some final comments. Okay, Mrs. Team S says, do you have any plans for videos for boy skills?
We do have some plans. We definitely want to do one on knot tying and woodworking. I'd like really for my husband to do just a real basic birdhouse and bird feeder to teach boys, you know, how to cut wood. And also along with the knot tying, I'd like for him to do pocket knives with that.
So what can you learn from a pocket knife? Help me out.
Well, every boy has to have a pocket knife.
Of course. My son has had numerous.
Yeah, and how not to cut yourself and, you know, what you can, you know, do whittling kind of stuff. So the Lord has been so good that my husband has had lots of regular work, so he has not had time to do a video.
I understand that kind of a problem. Okay, I am waiting for a few more posts. Diana says that there's a website with plans and material sheets for furniture and other projects that is free. Of course, I don't know how reliable they are, but certainly it's a good place to start. I know before my husband passed away, I wanted us to master a few building skills by making a lean-to cover the wood, you know, the firewood.
Uh-huh.
And we hadn't found anything. Out. Okay, here's another comment. I can't wait for the boy videos to come out. I'm glad your husband has been busy working to make videos. Okay, here's another question. Any ideas on how to take learned skills and transition into making extra income? Great question, Angela. Appreciate that. We really didn't address that in this discussion. How do we start moving from mastering skills into monetizing?
That's a really good question. you know, first of all, I think if you pray and ask God to bring you opportunities, We have done a lot of craft shows over the years. And so that kind of gets you out where your neighbors kind of know what you do. For me, it's basically been word of mouth. And I have done a lot of free cakes or cakes at cost, which has really helped with our catering because now all of our friends' children are getting marrying age, and so my phone is ringing quite a bit. So I think it's just word of mouth, you know, putting things out there.
I would agree with that. Well, getting back to your point or question, Angela, Mary Pride said years ago, who many of you may have heard of from homeschooling, she said, if you really perfect your hobby, we're talking about it may be a skill. Your hobby may be a skill, one of these skills that we're talking about. If you really perfect it, eventually it may lead into a business. And so I think there is a natural progression, and truthfully, that's what happened to me. Bread baking was my hobby, and it progressed into a business. So I didn't expect it to be, and it didn't start out as a full-time business, but it is a step. And I think if you do give out free stuff, and as people get to know what your passion is, what you're good at, you know, the word does get around, especially if, you know, you've catered your friend's wedding. When her friend needs somebody to cater her daughter's wedding, she's going to ask her, now, who was that who catered your wedding, your daughter's wedding? I mean, the word will get around that so-and-so knows how to make cakes, so-and-so knows how to arrange flowers, so-and-so knows how to do calligraphy. The word gets around, so perfect your skills. Commit your way to the Lord, and I think prayer is great. Okay, let's see if we have some other.
Also, I wanted to add one more thing about that. There are not a whole lot of people that are good with their hands. And so if you do, like you said, perfect your hobby, there's not a whole lot of people around you that are going to be doing quilts or they're going to be doing cakes. So the fact that you're willing to work with your hands and, you know, of course, pray, and that God will open up opportunities.
I agree with that. Now I'm going to read a few comments here. I started sending homemade fudge and bread to my boys' workplace, and now I have lots of orders. And another mom of 12 says, when we have given things as a blessing to others, whether it's bread, gardening, done mending, others have asked us to pay us for the items or wanted to learn how to do it. So I think that's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something I missed here. Anonymous. Okay. Okay, other questions, ladies? Do we have some other questions for Kathy while she is with us regarding practical skills, how to do it, working on attitudes? Kathy, do you have a sense of what skills are most in demand? I think catering is a good one. I really do. It's a lot of work, though, and you've got
catering,
to have some dishes.
It is not a work. When you were talking about the editor, I wanted to say that my daughter loves the herb garden. I mean, herbs are her thing. This morning, I'm going to post pictures later. This morning, she was at our farmer's market, which just opened in our county, and she's selling her herbs. So that's one way to monetize her hobby.
So how did the word get out that she was doing herbs?
She just set up down at the farmer's market.
Oh, okay. Farmer's market. Oh, that's an excellent way. I mean, I have helped many people over the years sell their bread in the farmer's market, and they've made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question. What about attitudes for boys regarding work around the house? Okay, well, my guess is how do you help the boys come around with the attitude? I know my son definitely had the attitude. I have a comment about that, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, as they get older, it's real important that, as long as there's a dad involved, that the buck stops with dad. Because when they get to be 12 or 13, mm-hmm. it's very difficult for young men to take orders from mom or any woman. So if you can try to instill a good work ethic in them when they're younger, it makes, you know, the transition when they're older a little bit easier. But It's and I see this a lot within homeschool circles because the boys are home all the time under mom. And so as much as possible, they need to be doing physical hard work outside. And
that is very true. Boys,
yes,
they need something to use their energy.
Yes, because they're not going to get satisfaction from folding laundry or cooking supper, where maybe if they had been out and, you know, worked in the garden or did landscaping or built something. So you got to remember that boys think so differently than girls. And as moms, it's hard to understand them because we don't think like a boy.
Oh, it's so true.
We encountered a lot of that, and we were so fortunate that when our son was 15, that my husband came home to work, and so he was able to go with him a lot. But we still dealt with issues because I was never taught how to raise a teenage boy, and that they think so weird.
Yeah, I can honestly
but
say.
Go ahead. I was going to say, as I found as a mom, the more that I backed off trying to rule over him and just let dad handle it, that it really helped.
That is fabulous wisdom. That is something I did not master before my husband died, and I'm having to learn now and rely on men outside the church to even still, now that my son is a college graduate, that, you know, if I really have grief, I've got to go to a man in my church and they take care of it for me. And it's really helped. But I also have been admonished by the same man to lay off. You know, he's a grown boy now. So it's really important for dad to be involved and to the buck stops with him. And if he isn't that way, to just pray about it. Very important. Okay, here's a question.
And especially, go ahead.
Do you have any resources for learning more about catering or flower arranging?
No, I don't. I have in my mind that I'm going to do a catering video. Every time we just did a wedding last week, and I'm thinking I should be videoing how to do all this. But no.
Okay.
So that's monetizing a hobby there.
That's beautiful. Okay, I think I interrupted a previous thought about boys, so I'm sorry. Can you recall what you were going to say?
I think the older that we have to just do all we can to preserve a relationship with them, you know, not tolerate sin, but just try to preserve the relationship and remember that we're mom and that let a man handle the hard stuff.
Excellent. Okay, here's another one. How do you figure how much to charge for a quilt?
Ew, that's a hard one, too. It really depends. It really depends how detailed. It really depends the pattern. I had a quilt, this was two Christmases ago, the parents came and said, I have two children, they're adult children. This quilt my kids have grown up with, they have had chicken pox with, the dog's laid on, they've thrown up on, it's the quilt. And it was the ugliest quilt. And she's like, I have to give it to one of my adult children, and they don't want me to cut it in half. And she said, can you make a replica? And so I went about making, and it's a pattern that I have never seen. We used to belong to the Quilters Guild. I took it to the guild and said, has anybody ever seen this pattern? Do you know what it's called? Where can I find it? And nobody had ever seen it. So my husband made me a template out of little wood pieces, and it took me about 3 months to piece the tops together. And so I made two that were almost identical to like a 1930s quilt. And I got paid really good money.
And you think what?
But it all did work. So I got paid really good money because it was such a detailed project. And
did you charge hourly?
They both gave. Excuse me?
Did you charge hourly?
No, I did not charge hourly. I think I had just set a flat rate. To do it over again, I would have charged more. So it kind of depends. It really does depend how detailed it is, what kind of fabric. You know, you can be using scraps, or you can be using a less expensive fabric, or you can be buying fabric from the quilt shop, which is the most expensive fabric you can get. So there's just a lot of factors that weigh into how much you want to charge for a quilt.
Okay. But how do you try to charge for your time?
It's hard for me to say just because it depends what it is.
Okay.
If it's just a simple patchwork, if it's just like a simple patchwork and you want it to be made out of scraps and it's like a full size, probably about $200.
Okay, and do you use a hoop or a frame for quilting?
I do machine quilting.
Okay, machine quilting will save a lot of time. Okay, so that's just a condition of taking on the project. It's going to be machine quilted. If somebody wanted you to hand quilt it, what would you do? Say,
I wouldn't do it.
You know, it's wise sometimes to use that two-letter word, no. It can be very wise.
Yes, hand quilting is a whole other ballgame, and I can hand quilt, but I don't have room in my house to set up a frame, and I just don't have the time. And you can, machine quilting is so pretty. So, you know, if you're going to hand quilt, that's a whole other ballgame.
Okay, for sure. All right, ladies, last call for questions. I think I am out of questions, so I want to give Kathy a chance to plug her website, Teaching Good Things, and make some closing comments. And before I turn this back over to Kathy, I just want to close with saying this is Marilyn, hostess from Urban Homemaker Live. Glad that you joined us. I've enjoyed having the questions and the conversation today. So, Kathy, you want to wrap it up for us?
Yes, and I appreciate you so much for letting me do this and being patient while I get the phone problems worked out. Our website is teachinggoodthings.com. If you will sign up for our newsletter, you will get a 7-part e-course about teaching your children good character through work habits. And we send out newsletters regularly, and I try to keep the blog updated and keep it interesting. And I think that's about all.
Yeah, I love that, teaching good character through a good work ethic. I think a work ethic goes a long way. I know I just want to put this last plug in. My children, fortunately, because we had the business here, did learn a good work ethic. I had to acquire it as a mom, which made them able to always find work, just about always find work, because people knew that they did good work, and they never had trouble getting work. So a good work ethic certainly promotes peace and harmony in the home and will go a long ways towards helping make sure you're marketable and that you have skills that people want. So I certainly want to just affirm that thought. And as we close, says Ms. Kathy, we looked at your site. Thanks to Marilyn's email. It's been a blessing. And any further comments, ladies, you'll have to post quickly because I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. That doesn't mean we can't continue the little chat. So I'm going to end the recording, and I'll be right back.